This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. As usual, Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy joining you as hosts today, as we do every week here on Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 11 a.m. on WDCX. I've had some great shows in the past year talking about what God has done through the Church of Western New York and what he is doing. We often quote Henry Blackaby saying, find out where God is moving and get where he is and get involved. And that's what this show is designed to do, is to highlight people and those who are working in the name of Christ or for the name of Christ in our city. And every week it seems that we just kind of change gears a little bit. We have everybody from lay people to pastors to different church expressions and things that are happening, planters that are coming back to our city, which we have this week. And we're going to talk with Matt Moran this week, Ryan, and I'm excited about that. And I know his family, and it's cool to meet Matt today and talk more about what God is doing in his life.
Yeah, it'd be really exciting. I think it'd be great for the listening audience to hear a little bit more about Matt's story, and then just kind of the calling that the Lord has placed on him to bring him back. I mean, one of my favorite things to cover is when God brings a native son home. Mm. And so Western New York is a special place. And even though I'm not from here, though I've recently been told I am a Western New Yorker after 19 years of living here, it's just fun when native sons come home, especially as they're answering the call that God has placed on their life. And so we've experienced that where we've seen God raise up people from outside the region to bring them here, and that's been great. I mean, last week, Chad Rieselman, he's a great example of that. Didn't grow up here, but he feels like he's found a home here, and God's using him to do some great work of the ministry here in the region. But there's just something fun when someone's born here, raised here, they understand the uniqueness of Western New York. They go away for a season, God brings them home. So I'm excited to hear the story of Matt today.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, it's biblical that God pulls people from their home country and their hometown. I mean, we see the Nehemiah just going home and
sure.
and helping to, you know, pave the way for the Israelites' return. And I think that there's such a value to someone who is called back to home.
Yeah.
Because we know that home is special.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know how all the call of God works on that. If it's that, you know, because we're from a place that it's just special in our heart because we're from there, or if God really, implants just a desire for our own people to come to him. And I'm sure, it's a combination of both. But it's encouraging to see, because like somebody like Matt knows the community that he grew up in. He knows the people. And even though you're away for a while, especially in Western New York, when you come home, there's a comforting feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to getting to know more of Matt's story and how he's come all the way around back to Buffalo.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you go away for a season and you learn to appreciate that which you've had growing up. I know, even though I don't get back as much as I'd like to, there's just Cleveland's always going to have a special place in my heart. Because that's where I'm from.
Yeah, we've seen your office, man.
Yeah. but Buffalo is, it's just a great town. And it's going to require people who have a deep love and a deep concern for it to engage the lostness of this region. There's still 1.2 million people that live in Niagara and Erie County. It's a lot of people, many of which do not know Jesus. Recently just announced fifth most biblically illiterate city in America.
The new findings come out?
Just a few months ago,
they rejuvenated the study?
Yeah.
We moved up a little then.
Well, there's post-Christian and then there's biblical literacy. They're two different lists that Barna kind of concentrates on.
Right,
but regardless,
I was trying to find a sliver of hope there.
There's always hope.
It's always hope.
It's just not as big as we'd like it to be. But when a native son comes home, I think that's going to be a great theme for today. Looking forward to talking to Matt.
We're looking forward to talking to Matt. Listen, we want you to stay around, stick around, keep us tuned in, listen to us online. If you're just getting out of your car and going into your house, you can listen to us on your computer at wdcxradio.com. But also, if you want to check up on past episodes, the different people that we've brought to the airwaves of Christ Together Radio, go to WDCXradio.com. Click on programs and scroll down to Christ Together Radio, and you can find out all about Ryan, all about myself, all about Christ Together, the Christ Together Network. There's a link there for that, and also a place where you can email us if you have any questions. And then as you scroll down that page, you'll find audio episodes of the past, I don't know what, Ryan, 30, 40?
Yeah, probably maybe, 35 episodes.
Something like that. Yeah. Episodes that are on there of different people whom we've brought to the airwaves that God is doing great things through. And so we're encouraged as we continue to talk to people about how they've been moved to help change Western New York as part of the Church of Western New York as we all serve Christ together. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson along with Ryan Cozy. Matt Moran joining us in studio today. Matt is a... I'm sorry. I almost said a prodigal. You're not a prodigal. Although,
hopefully not.
Although people that leave Western, I just caught myself. It's a fun morning.
The prodigal has come home.
I was thinking like it's right? Someone that returned home. So it's but you're not a prodigal, man. You're. But those when you leave Western New York, you tend to get labeled that. No, I'm just kidding. You left us. But no, Matt's a native son returned home, not a prodigal son returned home. We want to make that clear. Yeah. And no, Matt, we're glad to have you back in Buffalo. I know that, you know, as it is with all of us who've grown up here, and Ryan's a Buffalonian too, that Buffalo is near and dear always to your heart, even when you don't live in Buffalo.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm thrilled to be back. It's been 10 years that my wife and I were away and we're in Boston. We're back in Amherst as of December 2016 and just thrilled to be back.
That's great.
Oh, that's great.
So, Matt, you know, the listening audience here, getting to know you a little bit, tell us your story. You know, kind of you're from Western New York. Tell us a little bit about kind of those early formative years, how you came to know Christ, and just what was it like growing up in Western New York for you?
Sure. Yeah, so we're moving back so that I'm pastoring a church in Amherst, Community of Grace Church. But really, like, that story and how that's even possible, that has its roots in this area. I would trace my own story, not to go too far back, but I would trace my own story before I was even born. Hmm. My parents coming to Christ at Amherst High School, just a student movement at Amherst High School, both of them. Coming from divorced homes, both of them far from God, both of them Jesus, Christianity. None of that was on their radar. None of that would have been likely in any sense. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit of God just moved in the two of them, bringing them to Christ and bringing them together, you know, as teenagers. So that really is, when I think about my own faith story, I trace it back 5 years before I was born to the miracle of my parents as teenagers coming to Christ.
Wow. And so they just, high school students, Amherst High?
A lot of high school students meeting Jesus in the 70s at Amherst High School.
Wow. That's great. Mm-hmm. So coming up in a home like that,
right.
Obviously you kind of begin to attend church. When did you personally kind of become arrested by the gospel? When did you give your life to Christ?
I mean, that's an interesting thing to think about. I did know as a little kid that I was a sinner. Okay. I knew as a little kid. I knew as a young child. I was one of those kids that had the grace of God that I believed in Jesus, who he was and what he had done as a child and saw my sin. So I would say, yeah, no, I truly was born again as a kid. At the same time, I would trace seasons of gospel wakefulness where I would realized much more deeply, much more profoundly what it is that God had done for me.
Yeah.
That's interesting, Matt. You know, so many people have a similar story that grew up in a Christian home. I used to joke around that I get jealous of people that have these radical, like almost like you, Ryan, like these radical moments of conversion. And, you know, you can't, if when you grow up in a Christian home and you just are a part of it, there's a certain risk there. Right, that it becomes just familiar words and not a personal relationship, and that's hard. But But I have very much the same story. I mean, I know that when I was little, because I've been told and I know the story, and I faintly remember accepting Christ at a Bible conference. But then I love how you, there's times when you awaken to the gospel.
Absolutely.
As you're growing up in a Christian home, and you say, oh yeah, yes. Like, and you understand your sinfulness. You understand that you need to repent and turn to Christ. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I think a lot of people, Ryan, even in the church, kind of struggle, like, well, you know, I never was, you know, drunk in a sewer and went to a revival meeting, you know, with Charles Finney and got saved or something. Yeah. Like, I don't have this great story. Right. So what does that mean? Do I need a great story? And so I'm glad you brought that up, Matt.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, I know we were talking off air. It just a testimony of solid family upbringing, Brett, for you and your family, and Matt, for you and your family. Not all of us had a father who was a spiritual leader, and providing insight. And I love my father, but
right. Great guy.
I didn't get a lot of spiritual wisdom from him growing up, and I watched my mom, you know, try to provide that for us as a family. And you know, did that mean that my father wasn't there for us? No, my dad was a blue collar guy, and so provision was, there's food on the table, there's clothes on your body, there's a roof over your head, and shut up, you know, like just in, you know, like I'm doing my job. And he did. My father was very faithful to provide for the family. But there's just this aspect when we can celebrate not just the, you know, providing those physiological needs, but also deeply investing into your family. Yeah. And I feel like, man, when your father and your mother are sold out for the Lord and they're equally yoked, young families will, it's not always perfect, it's not always easy, but they will benefit from the legacy of following Christ.
Right. It's actually, Ryan, a challenge to the fact that you've broken that. You are now providing a godly example, godly leadership to your children, who hopefully in turn will do the same as, and I know your dad's accepted the Lord too.
Yeah.
And you baptized him, right?
Yeah, I had a chance to baptize him a couple years ago. Right. So it's just pretty,
you know, God works in different ways sometimes, in different paths, for our good. But as we are fathers, that's such a challenge, and such a, to hear someone who's grown up saying the value of that and looking back, how much of a challenge it is for us to do that for our kids.
Yeah. You know, Matt, you were talking about, you know, this idea of gospel awakenness, like you're just awakening to the gospel. Are there, and you said there were some profound moments as you were growing. Can you share with us, like, what were some of those things that that you can kind of recall as you were growing up, just kind of a clearer awareness to not only your salvation, but perhaps even your call to ministry?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I would say that I absolutely identified myself as a good kid growing up, and that was I got a lot of identity from that. I'm the oldest son in the family, so that high responsibility, high performance type of behavior, and I think it's fair to say we tended towards, or I'll just speak for myself. I tended towards, even as a kid, that type of self-righteousness, that idea. So I knew that I wanted to obey God, but I would not, as a kid, have much of an understanding of the grace of God in any sense. So for some people, that breaks them. For me, that made me feel good about myself. I just thought I was better than other people. Even as a kid, that was a significant part of my identity. So it was, when I speak about gospel wakefulness, I think about becoming aware of my sin. And for, so, like you were saying, for some people, that's not hard for them because they have a more radical conversion story.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are more religiously inoculated, you might say, it can be hard for us to become aware of our sin. God had to bring me through that. I don't think I saw that clearly. Man, I'm skipping way ahead, but I didn't see that clearly till college.
Okay.
At all.
Yeah.
When I realized through some real personal brokenness that I was a sinner, that most of my religious activity was for show. It was to feel better than other people. It was self-righteousness. It was performance, really. And when I realized that I actually, like, how much of that, how much of what I did had nothing to do with God at all, I went into a real season of doubt and depression.
Wow. And, I mean, as much as you care to share, how long did that last for you?
Probably in different manifestations, a couple years.
Yeah.
Where I really kind of spiritually went through the motions. And to be honest, it was, so without getting into all the details, I was highly involved in student ministry in college. And that was, I was bored with church. A lot of college students are. I certainly was. I thought church was just like something that people did perfunctorily, but the real action happened elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I was passionately involved in student ministry, devoted much of my time there, pictured myself doing something like that, probably parachurch long term. And yeah, through some of my own sin, through some of the sin of my friends that were in college, I just went into a season where I finished up college kind of friendless, kind of alone, kind of disconnected from God. The only thing that really, that my lifeline at that point was my church, because I went that I would go there and I would hear the gospel and I wasn't required to feel anything. So I would just sit there.
Yeah.
And that was God's grace to me.
Wow. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. This is Ryan Cozy along with co-host Brett Larson. And today we're talking with Matt Moran. And kind of the theme for today, today's episode is, you know, a native son coming home. So Matt is serving pastorally in Amherst, New York at Community of Grace Church.
Yes.
And part of the Sovereign Grace Movement. And he's just sharing a little bit about just his story. And so one of the things that I feel is important in this moment is for the listening audience, you may be able to resonate with this. Mm-hmm. The reality is when we start to hear stories about, you know, real people living life, God is he may be speaking to you. And so if you can identify this, identify with this, that's kind of part of the win for the show. We want people to understand that even in the realm of vocational ministry, there are seasons that we go through and times of difficulty. And, you know, Matt, just as a point of reference for people that are listening, you know, what, if someone is going through something like that in particular, like what you went through, you know, how did you come out of that? And what would you recommend for people that may be in that particular season right now as they're listening?
That's a great question, Ryan. For me, I talked earlier about gospel wakefulness. What was so profound for me is that I had measured my spirituality based on what I felt and what I did. And then when I realized that I was broken, that much of my impulse to perform, to pray, to read my Bible, to attend, you know, meetings, didn't come from a heart affection for God. It came from something else. And I became disillusioned with that. What I needed then was not, I was emotionally empty. It sounds strange as like a 22-year-old, but I really was. I was, I was done. And what I needed was for someone to tell me objectively what God had done. And that is what happened for me through the ministry of the church, through some reading, through some other, like I read, but I could, if someone had required me to feel something at that time, I don't think I would have gotten there.
Yeah.
Rather God used a time for me to hear what God had done.
Yeah.
And eventually my heart affections caught up with that.
Wow. You know, there also might be those out there who are struggling right now, Ryan, and maybe deep prayer and passionate concern for a son or a daughter who maybe you've raised them in the church and they're off to college. And college is a time where people are very, you know, exploratory and kind of figuring out who they are. And sometimes that means that they do go through periods of doubt and wonder and whatever. And the encouraging part of this is that when God places his hand on someone, he doesn't let go.
Yes.
And that as we continually pray and plead for the, plead for their spiritual well-being, we can also take comfort in the fact that if and when God has placed his hand in their life, that he's not going to let them go. And we continually pray, and we pray like it all it's all up to us, and hope and depend like it's all on up to God. And so just a word of encouragement, because I know that that's a lot of people that might be tuning in that just have young young people and young sons and daughters that they're concerned about. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy. Matt Moran joining us in studio today, a pastor who's returned home to Buffalo after being away for a decade or so. And we're going to get to know more about Matt and his church and his context of ministry when we return on Christ Together Radio.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we have Matt Moran joining us in studio today. Matt Moran, a Western New York native, his family, a great family, church involved in the Church of Western New York, the Moran family, and Matt being the oldest son. And Matt, how many brothers and sisters do you have, by the way, Matt? Just out of curiosity.
I have six younger siblings.
Six. Wow. I knew there was a whole bunch of you. That's great. That makes it fun. No, not when you're the oldest, because then you have responsibilities, right?
Well, there's two. There's my sister and I. Then there's an 8-year gap, and then there's five more.
So you were out of there,
right?
Good luck, Mom and Dad.
Good luck.
Round two.
We're learning more about Matt today as Matt is returning to the Western New York area. He returned in December to pastor a church here locally, and learning more about what God has done in his life throughout his growing up experience, and just how God consistently brought him back to a place of understanding his salvation and God's role in his life. And Ryan, we're going to pick up with Matt. Where are we at here?
Yeah, so kind of coming out of a season of dryness, like emotional emptiness and doubt is what you were saying. And off air, we were like, hey, where were you in school at? And you were at Houghton College during this time.
I was at Houghton College from 2000 to 2004.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So kind of coming out of that, you had mentioned before the break that there was a church that began to objectively provide you what you needed, which was the articulation of the gospel, probably some other things in there which I think are worth noting if you don't mind sharing, but what's unique about this is that church that you were attending at that time is the church that you are providing some pastoral leadership for now. I think that's pretty unique.
Yeah, it's interesting. It really is it's a story for me of God's faithfulness. Yes, I was part of Community of Grace, which at one point was called Tonawanda Baptist and met in the Philip Sheridan School on Elmwood, but now is in Amherst on North Forest. I was part of that church from a child. I was my pastor was Rob Satoff. Mm-hmm. Rob continues to pastor with me now, but he and I have a 25-year relationship dating back to when I was 11. So there is an interesting dynamic there of I get to pastor alongside someone who really spoke into my life and discipled me. But touching on the season that we were talking about, Ryan, I honestly was bored with church. I didn't think that was where the action really was. But it was the faithful preaching of the gospel that solidified me during that time. And I do think God used that to grow in my heart over time a actual love for the local church and understanding. That was probably the first time when I began to understand that, like, the church is at the center of God's missionary plan. So I look back and say, yeah, God used that small church and those people and that community and the preaching of the word so much to change my trajectory.
That's got to be a if there's a pastor listening in, and I know my role's different at the church that I serve at now, but prior to that, I had a more traditional pastoral role in college ministry. And, pastors, if you're hearing this, it's got to feel good that, the reality is the faithful preaching of the gospel regularly and repeatedly does take deep root, because there are times when you're standing up there going, Lord, I don't know if this is resonating with anybody, and in particular, we're kind of a northeastern part of of this country, and so there's not a lot of there's not a lot of nonverbals that people give off some Sunday mornings like that. They
are
actually
cold around here.
They can be. I mean, it's not a judgment. Yeah, it's just like
it's not a high dynamic.
Yeah. You know, you go to different parts of the country, and I've been fortunate to travel, and you know, like some congregations, there's lots of bright eyes and smiling and stuff like that. But
it's also sunny there more.
Yeah. I think the gray weather has something to do with it. You know, a deep February Sunday morning, and someone's just looking at you like, you know, is this going to end soon? Just like, but you know, so if you're listening, I think that's pretty encouraging. So the faithful and the regular preaching of the gospel begins
and
to
I solidify. Would add to that the personal discipleship.
Okay.
Like I'm sure you know this, Ryan, from college ministry.
Mm-hmm.
How spending time with young adults can feel let's say unrewarding from time to time.
Absolutely.
I in reflection, it's hard for me to grasp what a waste of time it must have felt like to spend time with me as a young adult, as a college student.
Yeah.
How those meals, lunches, books read, conversations must have just felt like a black hole.
Yeah.
And yet, the Spirit works through those one-on-one faithful relationships.
Yeah, that's great. So springboarding out of that, where does God take you next on the journey of bringing you back to this point? Obviously, you go from college to where do you go?
Sure. Nowhere, really. So, I mean, I finished college, but by no means did I have a defined plan.
All right.
So, at that point, I would have been 23, finishing up college. I had a double major in history and secondary education, but I had become confident I wasn't interested in teaching.
It's always a great feeling at the end of your college. I don't want to do this.
Right. So I had some really close friends in Utica, New York. And most people don't move to Utica when they graduate college. I moved
no,
to
they
Utica.
Don't.
And without a real plan, to be honest. So I went out there. I did youth ministry for a church in central New York for 3 years. And came out of that just realizing, wow, I have no idea what I'm doing. And if I'm serious in any way about ministry, I need to become equipped in some way. Mm. So that would have been those years from 2004 to 2007 would have been the time that I was dating. I became engaged and married my wife, Laurel. We did youth ministry together in central New York through what was, again, like a loving church community, but I was not effective in any sense in terms of what it looked like to make disciples of youth.
Hmm.
And I don't know that I realized it as clearly as I realize it now, but I knew I needed some help.
Right.
So coming out of that in 2007, I was like, if I am serious about pastoral ministry in any way, I need to consider seminary.
Hmm.
I don't think everyone needs to consider seminary. It was an option for me. And I took it. So in 2007, we moved to Boston, and I attended Gordon-Conwell.
Okay. So God takes you from central New York during that time to the, would we say the north, that's the north side of Boston, correct?
Absolutely, north side of Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. To Gordon-Conwell, great seminary, phenomenal reputation, and he begins to work on you. The word you use, to equip you.
Yes.
So let's talk about that a little bit more. How long were you in seminary for the MDiv, correct?
Yes. How long was I in seminary? I'll be intentionally vague with you, Ryan, but let's just say longer than I should have been.
Shout out to my father for helping me out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was a student at Gordon-Conwell, but to be honest, and it was an immense privilege to be able to study, to get theologically trained.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, what my wife and I needed more than anything as a newly married couple was to be part of a healthy church community.
Mm.
And we didn't know where that was going to happen. So like a lot of people in their 20s, we were just looking online, and I was poking around at churches, and I saw a church that looked okay, that had a picture of a guy who'd been my RA at Hoden College.
Wow.
And we had not spoken in 7 years, but I knew that I respected him, and that if he went there, it must be a good place.
Wow.
So September 2007, our first week in Boston, we attended a church called 7 Mile Road in Malden, Massachusetts, which is just north of the downtown. Mm-hmm. And we were there for the next 9 years.
Wow. That's great. So you and your wife get plugged into a healthy church.
Absolutely.
You're going to school.
Right.
What does the Lord begin to show you and teach you during that time? It's got to be a ton of stuff, but obviously yes. it's equipping you at some point for the next chapter of your journey, which is bringing you back here.
Correct.
So what are the things that the Lord begins to just work on you in to prepare you for this moment?
Sure. Yeah, I would say being part of that church, I for the first time had some older guys in my life that I don't know how many people would resonate with this, but I always felt, again, this is the theme of self-righteousness that I battled in the past, mm-hmm. but I had always felt as a kid growing up, oh yeah, pastor, I could do that. I could be that. What do? They speak in front of people and they know a lot about the Bible. Like, you know, I'm like 20. I know a lot about the Bible already. So
let's get that speaking thing down and we're good.
Public speaking class. I'm good.
So, one thing that seminary teaches you is you don't know a lot about the Bible.
Yeah.
And then, one thing that being in the church community taught me was, and you're not very mature. Like, so I'm not sure all those guys were like, they weren't necessarily in my face, but I started to realize from example, just from some older guys, some dads, some people that were doing a great job leading the church and leading their home and trying to glorify God in their workplace. I started to realize, hey, wow, I have a lot of growing up to do. Mm. And the church had a place for me to explore what pastoral leadership looked like. It was a year-long track called the Ox Track. It was just a metaphor from Paul's letter to Timothy. And after a year of that, I realized real clearly, I'm not ready. And I begged my pastors. I was like, can I do it again? So they were gracious. They said yes. And in year one to year two, I started to really deal with what would it look like if I actually grew up. And I don't mean that in the sort of like self-righteous sense. I mean that more like, what if the Holy Spirit actually prompted some change in my heart and I repented from sin and I started leading my wife and I started actually working hard and I start like those types of things. And a shift started in my heart.
Wow.
In that time.
That's awesome. It's encouraging as we see God continue, like looking back as we see God working in our lives. And I know even from my own experience that a lot of times when we're worried about the future, we need to look behind us and see where God has orchestrated our lives. And so someone might be driving along today and kind of wondering like, God, what role do I play? Where's my significance? Is this all there is for me? Am I just going to be a metro bus driver? Am I just going to be a plumber? Is that all I'm going to be? And right in front of you are opportunities to get involved in ministry and God's orchestrating your life as you speak right now. And, we just need to look back and see how he's cared for us and see his hand in our lives to understand that where we are right now is one of those places where God wants to use us. So, just as God has used Matt and continually, and Matt, what's cool is throughout those years, I'm sure God, you can look back at times where God was using you. Mm-hmm. In the midst of being trained for ministry,
sure.
He continually is using you in different ways and shaping you for the future, but also using you at the present. So I just hope it's an encouragement to people who are hearing Matt's story that God may not have called you to go back to wherever your home is and take over a church and do things like that, but he's called you to do what he's called you to do, and only you can do that. And so just take rest in that and prepare yourself for that. And how do you do that? We talk about it all the time on Christ Together Radio, intimacy with God. Mm-hmm. As we get into his word, as we pray and we communicate with God through Jesus Christ, we begin to understand his will, we begin to align with his will, and it begins to become infused as a part of our lives. So I hope that encourages you today. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, alongside Ryan Cozy and Matt Moran joining us in studio today. Matt is of community with the Community of Grace Church in Amherst. Coming back to be a pastor there this past December. And so we're going to be talking with Matt a little bit more when we return from the break. We're going to get to the final conclusion, I guess, to his story up to date. And then Matt's going to join us next week. Matt, you're available for next week. And so we're going to sit down with Matt and talk about their church ministry and what kind of his plan and God, what God has laid on his heart for his service in the church. So stay with us. You're listening to Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we co-host every week here on Christ Together Radio. If you want to check out past episodes and past weeks that we've had different people on from the Western New York Christian community and church community, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs, go down to Christ Together Radio, and there you can find all the information you need to know about what we do and also about what the Christ Together Network is and how it works in Western New York. There should be some links there as you explore what Christ Together is. This week, we have Matt Moran joining us in studio. Matt is one of the pastors over at Community of Grace in Amherst on North Forest. And Ryan, I think we said it's pretty noticeable, right?
This massive peak.
This peak.
Across from the golf course, isn't it?
Right across from the golf course on the bike path.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an old Lutheran building, so it's noticeable. You can see it from a ways away, 48 feet high.
I think the first thing not coming back to Western New York, and I think it was like 05. I wasn't really familiar with the Amherst area. I think the first time I drove by, it looked like there was like a ship going down in a body of water. But I was like, but there's a creek here.
Is that a memorial?
but it was like the old Great Lakes, Maritime Memorial for the men who lost their lives.
On the Edmund Fitzgerald.
It's really cool, and it's very noticeable over there. So,
yeah.
I know leading up to the last break, Matt, we were talking about how God began to prepare you for the work of the ministry as you were doing ministry in Boston. You're finishing up graduate school at Gordon-Conwell. God plugs you into this great local church, and you take a very intentional leadership track for 2 years.
Yep.
But God begins to stir something over this time in Boston. And that stirring ultimately leads you back to Western New York. And yeah, how did that happen? I mean, the reality is I love Western New York. There's a few cities that where I'm like very entranced by. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a great city. Boston's one of those cities. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like an incredibly walkable major city. And as much as you've probably enjoyed being in Boston and the North Side, what happened that God began to draw you back, and where has that led you to today?
Yeah, I mean, it was not on my radar, on my wife Laurel's radar, to return to Buffalo. We loved every second of our time in Boston. I became a pastor at that church that I referenced earlier in 2010. And if you had asked me then, if you asked me in 2010, 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15, I would have been like, we're spending the rest of our life here. We're loving every second of it. There would be, on return trips home, there would be something in the back of my head that said, you know, I still love it here. And I wonder, and I still feel burdened for the church here. But didn't think a lot about it until 2016, until really last year. Over that time, my church had planted in multiple places around Greater Boston, as well as a couple other cities. So I had been able to see a healthy church grow and see the mission of God. And I had an excitement to see people who live in secular settings come to know Christ, which is really what Boston is. And around that time, I started to realize, like, yeah, I think God's calling me to a new season, a new leadership position. So I started to process that with the guys that I was pastoring with, and they affirmed it, but we were not at a place, we weren't just strategically, we were not at a place where that was going to happen right now. Mm-hmm. So they affirmed it, they prayed with me, but really it was just like a season of, waiting. And as I said before, I had a 25-year relationship with Rob Satoff, pastor of Community of Grace. So it was normal for me to process things that I was praying about or thinking about with him. So about May or June of last year, I started to share some of what my wife and I were praying about. And Rob got back to me immediately and said, hey, we need to talk. It turns out that Rob and this church had been praying for another pastor and an eventual successor for 5 years, unbeknownst to me. So we started to talk and dream a little bit and work through, hey, are we really aligned? Would this make any sense?
Right.
And that was the process from June to August of really conversing about that together, as well as praying with my wife, talking with her, getting feedback from my elders in Boston. But that was really the process, Ryan.
That's great. And so you come back to Western New York at the end of last year, correct?
Yeah, the church was very... We came out in the fall to kind of explore this some more with the church here.
Yeah.
They were affirming as well. And then all, you know, all the logistics of a major move, the finances, all those things slowly fell into place, and we just saw the hand of God throughout it. And we made the move finally December 2016, right before Christmas.
That's great. Now, so you coming back to Western New York, you know, one of the things that I like to ask people, like, if you've been gone for a while, you're back here, you've got some fresh perspective.
What have
you seen that's struck you about being away for a while and then coming back into this community? What sticks out to you?
There are a number of things that I could list. I mean, one, I'm freshly reminded just how great Western New York is. My family's used the last 4.5 months just to sort of explore the area. This isn't where my wife is from. So there's some, you know, landmark type things that she has not done. So I've kind of forever been like, oh, you got to go to Jim's Stakeout. You got to go to Mighty Taco. Like,
it's always going to take the food in Buffalo. It's
right.
Like, you got to go to this food
place. It's like the best unhealthy food place in America.
It's terrible.
Got a little bit of a weight problem.
We don't have a lot of juiceries around.
Sure.
There's a few.
Yeah, they got the best carrot juice over. Well, they don't. Never mind.
Actually, just get the pizza. It's better.
So food is one of those
Absolutely.
Things.
But culture, we really have been exploring the area. One thing that's interesting to me on a more on the church setting is the amount of cooperation between churches is a pronounced thing to me here. Maybe it's because of the expense of living in Boston. Maybe it's just the religious climate. My sense in general in the greater Boston area was that churches wanted to work together, but they saw that as something that would happen down the road.
Okay.
In the sense of, oh, well, when we have X number of resources, then we actually could help each other.
Yeah.
When we reach a certain plateau, then we could think about that.
Right.
Right now we're trying to survive.
But at this point, we're trying to make our budget.
Right.
That was the general ethos. Whereas I've seen more willingness and more just depth of relationship between Christian pastors in Greater Western New York.
Yeah.
That's my first impression. Like I said, I've been here 4 months.
Yeah.
But that's something that sticks out to me.
Yeah. Well, as someone who's like, that's part of what we long to see happen in the region.
Right.
It's great to know that that's a general first impression that you get. And it's funny too. I'm not connected to your father's law practice except for, we have had them they have helped us a ton, predominantly with parachurch and local church ministries relative to issues with 501c3 and stuff like that. And they have been a phenomenal firm that has helped us and has just said, listen, anytime that your churches or your local church ministries need help with stuff like that, just let us know. So it's just funny because I felt like a great spirit of cooperation among Moran and Associates, and I've got some friends that work over there, but that's just encouraging to hear. When you there's obviously other things that you may notice. One of the things that we also wonder about at times is when we've got someone who's got a fresh perspective, they may have a very clear understanding of some of the challenges facing Western New York. And I'm just wondering, Are there things that you that just stick out to you going, wow, yeah, this is challenging for this geography or this demography?
Mm-hmm. One thing that sticks out to me is I would say Buffalo is similar in terms of the secularity, the amount, mm-hmm. the percentage of people that are unchurched. Boston is probably, in its academic environment, more mm-hmm. aggressively liberal
yeah.
than Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of percentage of people who are not attending any type of evangelical church, it's very similar.
Yeah.
There were some built-in connection points because of the geography of Boston.
Right.
People tend to live close together. Those homes were built 115 plus years ago.
Right.
So a lot of people gather in common areas. So people, I would meet people at the park. I would see the same people walking around town. In a more suburban context, like I am right now, that's a little different. So I'm noticing the need for a little more intentionality about relationships and where are you going to build those relationships.
Yeah, it makes that's an interesting point because we often think that the suburban church is the easy church,
mm-hmm.
and in some ways, maybe even financially or otherwise, there's you know a little bit more resource availability there. But in other ways, it is more difficult mm-hmm. because you don't have that community interaction, same faces, same places,
yes.
you know, every day. And, right. and that makes it tough.
Hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of a book I read a few years ago by a sociologist called Bowling Alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about the, you know, the suburban sprawl in this country has, along with the advent of technology, it's made it so that you literally can have a connection to the world right inside your home, that you mm-hmm. can back your car out of the garage in the morning,
mm-hmm.
go to work, mm-hmm. come home in the evening, shut the garage door after you pull your car in, and you can survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so those communal aspects of society, you know, we're struggling to know how to have community.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about like just even growing up, sounds cheesy, but I remember my dad was in like two or three softball leagues growing
yeah.
up. And, I remember just a few years ago, I played in this league, you know, it was a fast pitch softball league, mm-hmm. And I filled in for a couple of games. And a guy was telling me that at one point there were like 18 teams in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, there's like three now. I was just like, mm-hmm. what happened? And, you know, he's an older gentleman and he was just like, I just think we forget how to do community. We don't, you know, this isn't important anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, when you look at like just the interaction of people and the ability to maintain eye contact, stuff like it's just crazy how that's changed the landscape of our culture.
Yeah, we're just seeing the results of that now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. You heard today from Matt Moran. We just got a little backstory on his life and just kind of how God has brought him back to Western New York from pastoring and going to seminary in Boston. And now God has called him back to our region to continue on with the gospel message and discipling others in the pastoral role. And so we're thankful to have Matt back in Western New York, and part of the Church of Western New York is that's the purpose of the show, is to make you aware of what God is doing in different parts of the church context of Western New York. And Matt is certainly another Western New York native back here that can be such a valuable tool to use for the kingdom of God in our area. And so we're just thankful to have Matt back. And Matt's going to join us next week. We're going to talk about a little bit more about his plans for his church and what God wants to do through his context of ministry, and maybe get a little deeper into plans for the future and what God is doing right now at the local church level, and also how that can maybe fit into Christ Together and just a bunch of different things, Ryan. So I'm looking forward to next week as we wind down this week. And as always, if you want to find out more, check us out online at WDCXradio.com. Go to programs and click on Christ Together Radio. Send us an email if you are aware of something that we may not know about in the Western New York community, or that God is doing through the Church of Western New York, the people in the Church of Western New York. Then send us an email. Let us know. We'd love to know about it, and I'd love to answer your questions if you have questions about what you heard today, or if you want to know more about what it means to be a follower of Christ and what it means to walk with Jesus. Then send us, by all means, please send us an email or even give the station a call anytime you want. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy and thankful for Matt Moran today. Join us again next week right here on Christ Together Radio, 9 a.m. on Saturdays, 11 a.m. on Sundays, right here on WDCX.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.